Chapter 34.
A quote from Navarre, An Unedited History, by Colonel Lewis Markham.
The first known Griffin attack occurred in 1 AU, after unification, near what is now the trading post of Resen. At the edge of the dragon-protected border, the post has always been vulnerable to attack and, over the course of the past 6 centuries,
has changed hands no less than 11 times in what has become a never-ending war to secure our borders from our power-hungry enemies.
We fly into the morning and then the afternoon, and when Andarna can't keep up, she hooks onto Terran's harness mid-flight. She's asleep by the time Zayden chooses to skirt the thousands-foot-high cliffs of Draelor that give Tirndor a geological advantage over every province in the kingdom, over every province on the continent, really, and go around instead, heading into the mountains north of Athbeen. There's a pulling sensation in my chest, then a snap as we cross the barrier of the wards.
It feels different, I tell Tern.
Without the wards, magic is wilder here. It's easier for dragons to communicate within the wards. The wing leader will have to take that into account when commanding his wing from this outpost.
I'm sure he's already thought of that. It's nearly 1 o'clock in the afternoon as we approach Athbeen, stopping, at the orders of the dragons, at a lake closest to the outpost so they can drink. The surface of the lake is smooth as glass, reflecting the jagged peaks in front of us with breathtaking accuracy before the riot lands on the shoreline and sends ripples over the water in tiny shockwaves. A thick forest of trees and heavy boulders surround one edge of the water, and nearby grass is trampled, which means we're not the first riot to rest here. There are 10 dragons in all with us, and though I might not recognize each one of them, I know that Liam and I are the only first years in the group. Day lands beside Tern, and Liam jumps from his seat like we haven't just spent 7 hours in the sky.
You both need to drink and probably eat something, I tell them as I unbuckle from the saddle. My thighs are sore and cramping, but it's not quite as bad as it was at Montserrat. The extra hours in the saddle this last month have helped.
Tern pops a talon onto a latch, and Andarna plops to the ground, shaking her head, body, then tail.
And you need to sleep, Tern replies. You've been up all night.
I'll sleep when you do. Navigating his spikes carefully, I slide down his foreleg to the mossy edge of the shore.
I can go for days without sleep. I'd rather you not fire off lightning bolts out of sleep deprivation.
It's on the tip of my tongue to retort that it takes effort to wield lightning, but after I shattered Zayden's window last night, I'm not sure I have any expertise on the subject. Or maybe it's just Zayden who makes me lose control. Either way, I'm dangerous to be around. I'm surprised Carr hasn't given up on me. It's strange to be beyond the wards, I say, changing the subject. Tern's talons dig into the soil as Liam approaches, stretching his neck high above his shoulders. From the general agitation of the riot, I wonder if it's something they all feel, this wrongness in the air that has the hairs on the back of my neck standing on end.
We're 20 minutes out from Athbeen, so hydrate. We have no idea what kind of scenario is waiting for us, Zayden calls out, his voice carrying over the squad.
You doing all right? Liam asks, coming my way as Tern and Andarna both take the few steps they need to access the water.
Stay with Tern, I tell Andarna. She's a shiny target this far from the protection of the Vale.
I will.
Gods, I should have left her at Bezgaeth. What the hell was I thinking bringing her out here? She's just a kid, and this flight has been grueling.
It was never your choice, Tern lectures. Humans, even bonded ones, do not decide where dragons fly. Even one as young as Andarna knows her own mind.
His words bring little comfort. When push comes to shove, I'm responsible for her safety.
Violet, Concern furrows Liam's brow.
If I say I'm not sure, will you think less of me?
There are so many ways to answer that question. Physically, I'm sore but fine, but mentally?
Well, I'm a mess of anxiety and anticipation for what the war games will bring.
We were warned the quadrant always loses 10% of the graduating class in the final test. But it's more than that. I just can't put my finger on it.
I'd think you're being honest.
I glance to the left and see Zayden deep in conversation with Garrick. Naturally, the section leader made the cut for Zayden's personal squad. Zayden looks my way, our eyes locking for a second, and that's all it takes to remind my body that I had him naked a few hours ago, the lines of his carved muscles straining against my skin. I'm so damned in love with that man. How am I supposed to keep it off my face? Just be professional. That's all I have to do. Though the way I'm hyper-aware of each and everything he's said and done since leaving his bedroom pretty much makes me a walking example of why first years shouldn't sleep with their wing leaders, let alone fall in love with them. Good thing he's only my wing leader for another week or so.
Keep looking at me like that and we'll be stopped longer than a half hour, he warns without looking at me.
Promise? His gaze whips my way, and I swear I see him actually smile before turning back toward Garrick.
You doing all right with whatever is going on there?
Liam asks, startling me. And if I tell you I'm not sure? I give him the same answer, my lips curving.
I'd think you got yourself in over your head.
The look on his face is anything but teasing now. For someone who said he owes Zayden everything, that's not a glowing recommendation. I drop my pack to the ground and roll the tense muscles of my shoulders. Don't turn into Dane on me.
You feeling all right?
Zayden asks. Fine, just a little sore. The last thing I want is to be a burden for him.
It's not that,
Liam grimaces.
It's just that I know his priorities.
I'm really sorry you got dragged along on my account, I say quietly so the others won't hear. You should be at one of the Midland posts with Dane, not being hauled past the wards. Colonel Atos is a fair man, but I have no doubt this assignment is meant to give the marked wing leader his due. I finish the last in a fair imitation of Dane's dad, and Liam rolls his eyes. I'm not scared. No one is hauling me, and believe it or not, Violet, sometimes my orders actually don't revolve solely around you. I do have other skills, you know. He teases with a grin, flashing a dimple as he hip-checks me.
I've never once forgotten how amazing you are, Liam.
And I mean it. He coughs and I gesture him off. Now, I need a moment of privacy. He bows with a wave of a hand, as though introducing me to the forest behind us, and I head off into their shadowy depths. When I return to the shore of the lake, Zayden walks away from Garrick and holds out his hand as he approaches. My eyebrows rise.
Is he?
No. He wouldn't, not in front of the 8 other cadets. He laces his fingers with mine.
Guess he would.
It's more than the touch of his skin that has my pulse leaping. He's breaking his own rule. I glance pointedly toward where the others are gathered, all in various states of relaxation by the shore, but my hand tightens around his.
None of them is going to say a single word about you, or us. I trust every single person here with my life,
he says, leading me toward a cluster of boulders almost twice his height on the far side of the lake.
People talk. Let them. I'm not ashamed of loving him, and I can handle any mean-spirited gossip that comes my way.
You say that now, his jaw flexes. Did you get enough to drink or eat?
I brought everything I needed in my pack. You don't have to worry about me.
Worrying about you is 99% of what I do.
His thumb strokes the back of my hand.
When we make it to the outpost,
I want you to rest after we get our scenario objective. Liam will stay, while I most likely take the third years out to patrol.
I want to help, I immediately protest. Wasn't that why he brought me for my lightning? Not that I'm exactly winning any accuracy awards, but still.
You can after you rest up. You have to be at full strength to wield that signet of yours, or you'll risk burning out. Taren is too powerful.
He makes a decent point, but it doesn't mean I have to like it.
Once we're out of sight of the others, he backs me against the largest boulder and then lowers into a crouch before me.
What are you doing? I run my fingers through his hair just because I can. The fact that I get to touch this man is absolutely mind-blowing, and I plan on taking every advantage of the privilege while I can.
Your legs are stiff. He starts at my calves, working the knots loose with his strong hands.
I guess we can't really leave until the dragons are ready anyway, right?
His touch feels downright decadent.
Right. We have another 10 minutes or so.
He flashes a wicked grin at me. 10 minutes. Considering we really have no idea what the rest of the day will bring, I'm more than happy to grab a hold of what time we have. I groan as my muscles melt and my head falls back to rest on the boulder.
That hurts so wonderfully. Thank you.
He laughs, making his way up to the tense muscles of my thighs.
Trust me. My motives aren't altruistic violence. I'll take any excuse I can get to put my hands on you.
The scruff on his cheek scrapes my palms as I slide my hands down the sides of his face to cup the back of his neck. The feeling is more than mutual. His breathing changes when he reaches the top of my thighs, his fingers kneading my muscles into outright submission.
I'm sorry about this morning.
What? He looks up at me, the sunlight catching the gold specks in his eyes, and arches his scarred brow.
We were in the middle of something, if you don't remember.
A slow smile spreads across my face. Oh, I remember. The top button of his flight jacket is undone, and I grab the fabric and tug him toward me. At what point is this constant craving for him going to be assuaged? I've had him multiple times in the past 24 hours, and could still go another round, or three.
Is it wrong to wish we'd had time to finish?
Not sure I'll ever be finished.
He rises, every plane of his body caressing mine on the way up.
I'm way too fucking greedy when it comes to you.
He slants his head over mine and blurs out the rest of the world with a slow, luxurious kiss. His tongue slides between my parted lips to glide against mine, like he has absolutely no other plans for the day but to memorize every corner of my mouth. My entire body flares to life, then starts to simmer when he kisses a path down my throat. He palms my waist, pulling my curves flush with his hard angles, and I'm nothing but heat and need. My heart pounds so hard, it sounds like wing beats in my ears.
Gods, I'll never get enough of this.
He groans, one hand sliding to my ass.
Tell me what you're thinking.
I wind my arms around his neck.
I was thinking you are exactly as I predicted the first time you took me in my room.
Oh, yeah? He draws back, curiosity sparking in his eyes.
And what exactly was that?
A very dangerous addiction.
My gaze skims over the silver line of his scar, the thick lashes so many women would kill for, and over the bump in his nose to that perfectly sculpted mouth. I've already told him that I love him, so it's not like I'm keeping secrets over here. Hell, compared to him, I'm an open book.
Impossible to sate.
His eyes darken.
I'm going to keep you,
he promises, just like he did last night. Or was it this morning?
You're mine, Violet.
I lift my chin.
Only if you're mine.
I've been yours for longer than you could ever imagine.
As if the words untether him, he clutches the nape of my neck and kisses me long and hard, stealing every breath, every thought beyond the sweep of his tongue and the rising tide of need that heats my skin. Zayden yanks his mouth away with a gasp, breaking the kiss and cocking his head to the side as if listening for something. What's wrong? I ask. He's gone rigid beneath my arms. Shit. His eyes widen as he drags his gaze back to mine. Violet, I'm so sorry. Is this seriously how you dragon riders spend your time? A woman asks from behind Zayden, her voice like velvet dragged over a gravel road. He spins around so quickly he's a blur. Shadows envelop me, thick as a thundercloud. I can't see shit. Zayden! Someone yells and multiple pairs of feet come crashing through the brush. Bodhi, perhaps? Silly to hide what's already been seen, the woman says, her tone curt. And if rumors are true, there's only one silver-haired rider in your death factory of a college, which means that's General Sorengale's youngest. Fuck, Zayden swears. I need you to stay calm, Violence. Calm? Shadows fall away, and I leave my hands loose at my sides in case I need to grab a dagger or wield, sidestepping Zayden so I can see. A pair of griffin riders stands in the meadow about 30 feet away, their beasts eerily silent behind them. They're a third of the size of our dragons, but those beaks and claws look capable of shredding skin and scale just the same. Tairn! Coming! Stay with Sigail, I order Andarna.
The griffins look tasty from here, she responds.
They're the same size you are, no!
A fucking Sorengale.
The woman looks only a few years older than me. But she has the look of a veteran rider. She arches a dark brow, looking at me like I'm something that needs to be shoveled out of the horse stalls. The sound of beating wings fills the air as a handful of dragon riders barrel into the space around us. Imogen, Bodhi, a third year with a scarred lip I recognize. Liam. But no one is reaching for a weapon. At least the odds are in our favor now. Power unfurls under my skin, and I throw open that archive's door, letting energy rush over me in a torrent of scalding heat. The sky crackles. No! Zayden turns and hauls me against his chest, wrapping his arms around me and pinning my arms to my sides. What are you doing? I throw my weight against Zayden, but it's no use. He has me locked down tight. A gust of wind hits my right side as Tairn lands. Holy shit, that one is huge, the woman says. Around Zayden's immovable arm, I see the griffin riders retreat with quick steps, their eyes flying wide as they look up. Zayden lifts one hand to cup the nape of my neck as I look up at him. What the actual fuck is he doing? Kissing me before we die? If you have ever trusted me, Violet, I need you to do it now. The plea in his eyes leaves me stunned. Our enemies are feet away, and he wants to have a moment? Just stay here. Stay calm. His eyes search mine for an answer to a question I haven't been asked. Then he passes me to Liam. Passes me, like I'm a damned rucksack. Liam pins my arms to my sides with careful but unyielding strength. I'm sorry about this, Violet. Why the hell is everyone apologizing? Let me go! I demand as Zayden strides toward the pair of griffin riders, Garrick at his side. Fear squeezes my heart like a vice that he thinks he can take on the griffins and their riders himself. I can't do that, Liam apologizes, his voice lowering. I really wish I could. Tairn roars from my right so hard that spit flies, smacking Liam in the face and making my ears ring. Liam drops his hands and backs away slowly, putting his palms up. Got it. Point made. No touching. Free from his grip, I spin toward the field as Zayden reaches the riders.
You're fucking early, he says.
And my heart stops.
Chapter 35. A quote from Navarre, An Unedited History by Colonel Lewis Markham.
In his last days of interrogation, Fenn Ryerson lost touch with reality, railing against the Kingdom of Navarre. He accused King Tari and all who came before him of a conspiracy so vast, so unspeakable, that it does not bear repeating by this historian. The execution was swift and merciful for a madman who cost untold lives. Somehow, I managed to keep breathing, which is impressive given my heart feels like it might shatter in a million pieces and narrow my gaze on the enemy. I've never seen a griffin rider before. The dragons usually burn them to ash, along with their half-eagle, half-lion mounts. What happened to meeting tomorrow? We don't have a full shipment, Zayden says to the griffin rider, his voice calm and even. The shipment isn't the issue, the woman says, shaking her head. Unlike our black, the rider's leathers are brown, matching the darker feathers of their beasts, who are currently staring at me like I'm dinner.
If they try anything, they'll be a snack, Taren says.
Shipment. I barely process what Taren says through the shock of the rider's words. And Zayden knows them. He's working with them, aiding our enemy. Betrayal cuts my throat like glass as I try to swallow. This is why he's been sneaking off from the quadrant.
So you were waiting nearby to chat on the off chance that we'd fly by a full day early? Zayden asks.
We were patrolling from Draethys yesterday. It's about an hour southeast from here.
I know where Draethys is, Zayden retorts.
Never know. You Navarians act like nothing exists beyond your borders, the male griffin rider snarks. I don't know why we're bothering to warn them.
Warn us? Zayden's head cocks to the side.
We lost a village in the vicinity to a horde of Venon 2 days ago. They decimated everything. I startle, my eyes flying wide. She just said what?
Venon never come this far west, Imogen says from my left.
Venon?
Yep, that's what they both said. What the actual hell? I'd think someone was fucking with me if not for the two enormous griffins looming behind the pair of riders, but no one is laughing.
Until now, the woman replies, turning her gaze back to Zayden. They were unmistakably Venon and had one of their—
Don't say anything else, Zayden interrupts. You know that none of us can know the details or we put everything at risk. All it takes is one of us being interrogated.
Are you getting this? I ask Taren, glancing left and right to see if anyone else noticed the pure ridiculousness spewing from the woman's mouth. But everyone else looks horrified, like they actually believe a village was destroyed by mythical creatures.
Unfortunately, yes.
Details are not. It looks like the horde is heading north, the male says. Straight toward our trading post on the border across from your garrison at Athbean. Are you armed?
We're armed, Zayden admits.
Then our job here is done. You've been warned, the male says. Now we have to go defend our people. As it is, this side trip only gives us about an hour to reach them in time.
Instantly, the atmosphere changes, intensifies, and the riders around me seem to brace for something. Zayden looks over his shoulder at me, and instead of laughing at the utter absurdity of what they're discussing, his face is set in grim lines.
If you think you'll ever convince a Sorengil to risk their neck for anyone outside their own borders, then you're a fool, the man says with a sneer in my direction.
Power sizzles painfully beneath my skin, demanding an outlet. The man leans slightly to the side and looks me up and down in obvious judgment.
I wonder what your king would be willing to pay in order to get back the daughter of his most illustrious general. I'm willing to bet your ransom would be worth enough weaponry to defend all of Dreyfus for a decade.
Ransom? Oh, I think not. Tarn snarls. Fuck, Bodhi mutters, moving closer to me.
Try. I dare you. I crook my fingers at them, releasing just enough power that light flashes within the clouds above us.
Shadows race menacingly from the pine trees on the edge of the meadow as Zayden raises his hands at his sides, and both griffin riders tense when the darkness pauses only inches from their feet.
You take a step toward that, Sorengale, and you'll be dead before you can even shift your weight, Zayden says, his voice dropping lethally. She's not up for discussion.
The woman glances at the shadows, then sighs.
We'll be there with the rest of our drift. Just signal if you can get away from the disbelievers.
She walks away, leading the man back toward their griffins. They mount within seconds and launch skyward. Every head turns toward me with looks that vary from expectation to something akin to fear, and my stomach sinks. No one was surprised at the griffin rider's familiarity or throwing words like venin around, and they all knew Zayden was aiding the enemy. I'm the outsider here.
Good luck, Ryerson.
Imogen tucks a piece of her pink hair behind her ear, her rebellion relic peeking out above the sleeve of her flight leathers as she turns to give us space. My stomach drops and my mind races, grasping for anything but the obvious, devastating truth as they all slowly follow Imogen back toward the lake. There's a rebellion relic winding up a third year's forearm as he passes in front of me. Garrick's here. He's a section leader, but he's here, not with any of the flame section squads. So are Bodhi and Imogen. That brunette rider with a nose ring is Soleil, I think, and that's definitely a relic on her left forearm. The second ear from claw section? He has one too. And Liam. Liam is at my side. Tarn, I keep my breath as even as possible as Zayden stares at me, his face masked like an emotionless wingleader.
Silver One,
Tarn's giant head swings in my direction. They all carry rebellion relics, I tell him. Everyone in this squad besides me is the child of a separatist. In the chaos of the flight field, Zayden constructed an all-marked squad. And they're all fucking traitors. And I fell for it. I fell for him.
Yes, they are,
he agrees, resignation in his tone. My chest threatens to cave in as it truly hits me. This is so much worse than just Zayden betraying me, betraying our entire kingdom. There's only one explanation as to why my own dragons have been so damned docile in the presence of the enemy. You and Endarna lie to me, too. The treachery of it is too much, and my shoulders dip from the weight of it. You knew what he was doing.
We both chose you, Endarna says, like that makes it any better.
But you knew.
I look past where Liam dares to stare at me with sorrow, to Tarn, whose lethal focus lies straight ahead, like he hasn't quite decided if he's going to burn Zayden alive or not.
Dragons are bound by bonds, he explains as Zayden approaches. There is only one other bond more sacred than that of a dragon and its rider.
A dragon and its mate. Everyone knew but me. Even my own dragons. Oh, gods, is Dane right? Has everything Zayden's done been a ploy to earn my trust?
The sweet glow of happiness, of love, trust, and affection that burned so brightly in my chest just a few minutes ago sputters painfully, gasping for oxygen like a campfire put out by a bucket of water once it outlives its usefulness. All I can do is watch as the embers drown and die. Zayden watches me with increasing apprehension the closer he comes, like I'm some kind of cornered animal about to fight her way out with teeth and claws. How was I ever foolish enough to trust him? How did I ever fall for him? My lungs ache and my heart screams. This can't be happening. I can't be this naive. But I guess I am, because here we are. His entire body is a fucking warning, especially the dark relic that's so glaringly visible on his neck right now. His father may have been the great betrayer, may have cost my brother his life, but Zayden's treachery cuts just as deep. He flinches as my eyes narrow into a glare. Were we ever really friends? I whisper at Liam, searching for the strength to yell. We are friends, Violet. But I owe him everything, Liam answers, and when I glance up, he's watching me with so much misery that I almost feel sorry for him. Almost. We all do. And once you give him a chance to explain, there it is. Anger rushes to my aid, overpowering the hurt. You watched me train with him! I shove at Liam's chest, and he stumbles backward through the grass. You stood by and watched me fall for him! Oh, shit. Bodhi laces his hands behind his thick neck. Violence, let me explain, Zayden says. He's always known my true nature, and honestly, the shadows should have clued me into his. He's a master of secrets. Unspent power ripples in my very bones as I turn my back on Liam to face Zayden. If you even think about touching me, I swear I'll fucking kill you. My power flares with my rage, and lightning cracks across the sky, jumping from cloud to cloud. I think she means it, Liam warns. I know she does. Zayden's jaw ticks as our gazes collide and hold. Everybody go back to the shore, now. He watches me with apprehension as he draws closer. I know what you're thinking, Zayden says in that deceptively soft voice of his, and there's a flicker of fear in those onyx depths. You have no idea what I'm thinking, fucking traitor. You're thinking I've betrayed our kingdom. Logical guess. Good for you. Another bolt of lightning whips free, streaking cloud to cloud. You're working with griffin riders? I leave my arms loose at my sides just in case I need my hands free to wield, though I know I'm no match for him. Not yet. Gods, you're such a cliche, Zayden. You're a villain hiding in plain fucking sight. He winces. Actually, they're called flyers, Zayden says softly, holding my gaze. And I might be the villain to some, but not you. I'm sorry? Are we seriously arguing the semantics of your treason? Dragons have riders. The griffins have flyers. Which you know because you're in league with them. I retreat a few steps so I don't act on the overwhelming urge to punch him in the face. You're working with our enemy. Did you ever once stop to think that sometimes you can start out on the right side of a war and end up on the wrong one? In this particular case, no, I point toward the shore. I was trained as a scribe, remember? All we've done is defend our borders for 600 years. They're the ones who won't accept peace as a solution. What shipments have you been giving them? Weapons. My stomach hits the ground. That they use to kill dragon riders? No, he shakes his head emphatically. These weapons are only to fight venin. My jaw unhinges. Venin are the stuff of fables, like the book my father... I blink. The letter. What had he written? Folklore is passed from one generation to the next to teach us about our past. Was he trying to say... No. That's impossible. They're real, Zayden says softly, like he's trying to lessen a blow.
You're saying people who can somehow tap into the source of magic without a dragon or griffin to channel, corrupting their power beyond all salvation, actually exist? I say the word slowly, just so we're crystal clear. They're not just part of the creation fable?
Yes, his forehead creases. They drained all the magic out of the barrens and then spread like an infestation.
Well, at least that's in keeping with folklore. I fold my arms across my chest. What was the fable again? One brother bonded to griffin, one to dragon, and when the third grew jealous, he drew directly from the source, losing his soul and waging war on the other two.
Yes, he sighs. This was not how I wanted to tell you.
Assuming you were ever going to tell me! I glance to where Taryn watches, his head low, as though he might have to incinerate Zayden at any moment. Care to add to the discussion?
Not yet. I'd prefer you come to your own conclusion. I chose you for your intelligence and courage, Silver One. Don't let me down.
I barely restrain myself from flipping the middle finger at my own dragon. Fine. Were I to believe Venon exist and roam the continent wielding dark magic, then I'd also have to believe they never attack Navarre because... My eyes widen at the possibility's logical conclusion. Because our wards make all non-dragon magic impossible.
Yes, he shifts his weight. They'd be powerless the second they cross into Navarre.
Fuck. That makes sense, and I desperately don't want it to. Which means I would have to believe that we have no clue that poor O'Meal is being relentlessly, viciously attacked by dark wielders just beyond our borders. My brow furrows. He glances away and takes a deep breath before looking me in the eye.
Or you have to believe that we know and choose to do nothing about it.
Indignation lifts my chin. Why the hell would we choose to do nothing about people being slaughtered? It goes against everything we stand for.
Because the only thing that kills Venon is the very thing powering our wards.
He doesn't say anything else as we stand there. The only sound, the water lapping against the shore in time with the echo of his words beating against the edges of my heart. Is this why there have been raids along our borders? They're looking for the material we use to power our wards? I ask. Not because I believe him. Not yet. But because he's not trying to convince me.
The truth rarely needs effort, my dad used to say.
He nods. The material is forged into weapons to fight the Venon. Here, take this. Raising his right arm, he takes a black-handled dagger from the sheath at his side. I'm brutally aware of every move, horrifyingly aware that he's been able to kill me whenever he wants. And this moment is no different. Though it would have been a swifter death if he'd simply used one of the swords strapped across his back. He moves slowly, extending the dagger as an offering. I take it, noting the sharpened blade, but it's the alloy embedded into the rune-marked hilt that makes me gasp.
You took this from my mother's desk? My gaze jumps to his. No. Your mother probably has one for the same reason you should. To defend against Venon.
There's so much pity in his eyes that my chest tightens. The dagger, the raids, it's all right there. But you told me there was no chance we could be fighting something like this, I whisper, clinging to the last of my hope that this is all a horrible joke.
No.
He moves closer, reaching for me, and then dropping his hand as if he's thought better of it.
I told you, I would hope that if this threat was out there, our leadership would tell us.
You twisted the truth to suit your needs. My hand curls around the dagger's hilt, and I feel it hum with power. Venon are real.
Venin are real. Yes, and I could lie to you, Violence, but I'm not. No matter what you think right now, I have never lied to you.
Sure, right.
And how do I know this is the truth?
Because it hurts to think we're the kind of kingdom that would do this. It hurts to rearrange everything you think you know.
Lies are comforting. Truth is painful. I feel the hum of power within the blade and glare at Zayden. You could have told me at any time, but instead, you hid everything from me.
He flinches. Yes, I should have told you months ago, but I couldn't. I'm risking everything by telling you now.
Because you have to, not because you want. Because if your best friend sees this memory, everything is lost, he interrupts, and I gasp. You don't know that. Dane wouldn't break a rule to save your life, Violet. What do you think he'd do if he had this knowledge?
What would Dane do?
I have to believe he would not put the Codex above people suffering beyond our borders. Or maybe I could have built shields that would have kept Dane from prying. Or maybe he would continue to respect my boundaries and never look in the first place.
I narrow my eyes.
But we'll never know, will we? Because you didn't trust me to know the right thing to do, Zayden, did you?
He throws his hands wide.
This is bigger than you and me, Violence. And leadership will stop at nothing to sit behind their wards and keep the Venin secret.
His voice is raw as he pleads.
I watched my own father executed trying to help these people. I couldn't risk you, too.
He leans into my space a little more with every word, launching my pulse, but I'm done letting my heart make my head's choices.
You love me, and loved, I correct him,
sidestepping so I can get some fucking space, and then taking it.
Love,
he shouts, stopping me in my tracks and earning us a glance from every rider within hearing distance.
You love me.
One of those little embers in my chest tries to come back to life, and I squash it before it has the chance to burn. Slowly, I turn to face him.
Everything I feel,
I swallow, fighting to hold on to the anger so I don't fall apart,
felt for you was based on secrets and deception.
Shame burns in my cheeks that I was naive enough to fall for him in the first place.
Everything between us is real, Violence.
The intensity with which he says it hurts my heart even more.
The rest I can explain with enough time. But before we get to our assigned outpost, I need to know if you believe me.
I glance at the dagger and hear the words in my father's letter as surely as if he'd spoken them. I know you'll make the right choice when the time comes. He warned me the only way he could have, through books.
Yes, I say, handing the dagger back to Zayden. I believe you.
That doesn't mean I trust you anymore.
Keep it.
His posture softens in relief. I sheathe it at my thigh.
You're giving me a weapon after just telling me that you've been deceiving me for months, Ryerson?
Absolutely. I have another. And if what that flyer says is true, and Venin are headed north, then you might need it. I never lied when I said I can't live without you, Violence.
He backs away slowly, his lips curving in a sad smile.
And defenseless women have never been my type, remember?
I'm not remotely ready to joke around with him.
Let's just get to Athbeen.
He nods, and a few minutes later, we're mid-flight.
We know we didn't lie. We just didn't tell you everything,
Andarna says, flying in the pocket of air behind Tarn with the least wind resistance as we make our way to the outpost.
That's lying by omission, I argue. There's a lot of that going around today.
She's right, Golden One.
Tension radiates through every line of Tarn's body and the very beats of his wings.
You have every right to be angry,
he banks, following the mountain range along the border,
The straps on my saddle bite into my thighs.
We made a choice to protect you without your consent. It was an error, and one that I won't make again.
The guilt he feels overwhelms my own emotions, melting the hottest of my anger. And I begin to think. Really, truly think. If Venon exist, we'd have record. And yet there weren't any copies of the Fables of the Baron in the archives. The one location Navarre should have a copy of every book written and transcribed in the last 400 years. Which means Dad didn't just give me a rare book, but a forbidden one. 400 years of tomes and not a single one. 400 years. But our history spans over 6. Everything is a copy of an earlier work. The only original text in the archives older than 400 years, around the time we fell into war with Poromiel, are the original scrolls from the Unification over 600 years ago. It only takes one desperate generation to change history, even erase it. Gods, Dad spelled it all out for me. He'd always told me scribes hold all the power.
Yes,
Tarn says as we curve around the last peak, its jagged top bare of snow from the summer heat, and the mountainside outpost of Athbeen comes into view at the same time as the cliffs of Draelor.
One generation to change the text. One generation chooses to teach that text. The next grows, and the lie becomes history.
He banks left, following the curve of the mountain, then slows as we approach the outpost's flight field. My hands grip the pommels when we land in front of the looming structure perched on the side of the last peak in this range. Its design is identical to Montserrat, a simple square fortress with 4 towers and walls barely thick enough to launch a dragon. The military is nothing if not uniform. I unbuckle my saddle and slide down his foreleg. And somehow, we're supposed to be able to concentrate on the war games, I mutter, adjusting my pack on my shoulders, thinking about a trading post that may or may not be under attack from mythical creatures soon. The others dismount, and I look back to see Andarna already curled up between Tarn's feet. Zayden walks with Garrick, looking my way with what feels like longing. I gave him everything, and he never truly let me in. Pain rips through my chest with the kind of cut that only heartbreak can give, sharp and jagged. I imagine this is what it feels like to be cleaved apart with a dull, rust-covered blade. It's not honed enough to slice quickly, and there's a 100% chance the wound is going to fester. If I can't trust him, there's no future for us. It's more than tense as the 10 of us walk beneath the open portcullis and into the outpost. The very empty outpost.
What the hell?
Garrick strides across the courtyard in the center of the structure, looking along the gathering spaces that should line the interior just like Montserrat.
Stop,
Zayden orders, surveying the walls that rise on every side above us.
There's no one here. Divide and search,
he glances at me.
You don't leave my side. I don't think this is a war game.
I start to argue that he couldn't possibly know that, but the whip of wind through the open gate makes me pause. The only sounds in a fortress that should house more than 200 people are our footsteps on the rocky ground. And he's right. Everything feels off.
Awesome, I reply with more than a small dose of sarcasm,
and everyone but Liam, who's my shadow once again, scatters in groups of 2 or 3 climbing various staircases.
This way, Zayden says, beelining for the southwest tower.
We climb and climb, finally reaching the top of the 4th floor where the door leads us to an open-air observation point that overlooks the valley below, including the Peromish trading post. This is one of the most strategic garrisons we man, I say, looking for any sight of the infantry and riders who should be here. There's no way they'd abandon it for war games.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of.
Zayden looks out over the valley, then narrows his eyes on the trading post 1,000 feet below.
Liam.
On it. Liam moves forward, leaning on the stone battlement as he focuses on the structure in the distance beneath us. The trading post is maybe a 20-minute walk along the wide, gravelly path winding down the mountainside our outpost is perched on. The roofs of several buildings just poke out above the circular stone wall of its defenses, a drift of griffins and their flyers approaching from the south. Zayden turns on me, and the look in his eyes is anything but welcoming.
What did Dane say to you before we left?
He leaned in and whispered something. I blink, trying to remember. He said something like, I search my memory. I'll miss you, Violet. His body goes tense.
And he said I was going to get you killed.
Yes, but he always says that, I shrug. What would Dane have to do with emptying an entire outpost?
I have something, Garrick calls from the southeast tower, holding what looks to be an envelope as he and Imogen cross the thick rampart, coming in our direction.
Did you tell him about my trips here? Zayden questions, his eyes hardening.
No, I shake my head. Unlike some people, I never hid anything from you.
He draws back, his gaze shifting left and right as he thinks before settling on me again and widening.
Violence, he says softly. Did Atos touch you after I told you about Athbine?
What? My brow furrows, and I shove an errant strand of hair out of my face as the wind swirls around us.
Like this, he lifts his hand to my cheek. His power requires touching someone's face. Did he touch you like this?
My lips part. Yes, but that's how he always touches me. He would never, I sputter. I would know if he read my memories.
Zayden's face falls, and his hand slips downward, cradling the back of my neck. No, Violence. Trust me, you wouldn't.
There's no accusation in his tone. Just a resignation that hurts what's left of my heart. He wouldn't, I shake my head. Dane is a lot of things, but he would never violate me like that, never take something I hadn't offered.
Except he tried once. It's addressed to you, Garrick says, handing the envelope to Zayden.
Zayden drops his hand from my face and breaks the seal. I can read the lettering as he opens the missive. War games for Zayden Ryerson, wing leader of Fourth Wing. I recognize the handwriting. How could I not when I've seen it all my life? That's from Colonel Atos.
What does it say? Garrick asks, folding his arms over his chest. What's our assignment?
Guys, I see something just past the trading post, Liam says from the battlement.
Oh, shit.
Zayden's face drains of all color and he crumples the missive in his fist before looking at me.
It says our mission is to survive if we can.
Oh, gods. Dane read my memories without my permission. He must have told his father to where they've been sneaking off. I've unknowingly betrayed Zayden, betrayed them all.
That's not... Garrick shakes his head.
Guys, this is bad, Liam shouts, and Imogen races to his side.
This isn't your fault, Zayden says to me, then rips his gaze from mine and turns to his friends, who are running down the ramparts to join us. We've been sent here to die.